Let's look at Galatians chapter 6. I want to do a couple things this morning in a brief way. Galatians chapter 6, many of you're just automatically going to turn to Corinthians. Let's go a few pages further to Galatians chapter 6. If you're using our chair Bibles or you want to use you didn't bring one, you want to use ours, we have Bibles provided. It's page 975 in those Bibles. We finished up the first four chapters of 1 Corinthians. It's a great place to kind of pause and step out of 1 Corinthians. I want to draw our attention, and I want us to see what God is doing in the areas of the children's ministry, the youth ministry, and beyond this morning. And Galatians chapter 6, we're going to begin at verse 6. Paul, writing to the Galatians, says, "One who is taught the word must share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, we just bless each and every person involved in the children and youth ministry, specifically this morning, Lord, that Lord, they won't grow weary in well-doing. Lord, and I pray this morning that you would refresh them in a special way. Lord, as we turn to your word, Lord, and we are just rejoice at what you're doing here among us at City View in the areas of children and youth. Lord, I thank you for the encouragement. I pray you would encourage our hearts, Lord. Anybody here discouraged, I pray that you would just bring a special life to us this morning, Lord, that we would not grow weary. That any weariness would be gone in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So you have your sheets, okay? I want to begin this morning. We'll come back to Galatians, and I'll explain why in just a minute. What I'd like to do is turn our attention to the youth, first of all. Because they need it. I've been among them. I know they're perfectly behaved at home, but I've noticed some things while they're here. Anyway, that was a joke, but maybe you are. I didn't get a reaction. We're marking the National Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. That's a mouthful. But what in specifically, we pray for the areas of the life issue of the unborn, those in the womb that are so vulnerable. But what I want to do this morning is kind of jump off of what Tilly and Pearl. And those of you that haven't been around, those are characters resurrected from the VBS week. We endured that all week. No, it was actually great enduring. They did a great job. But the characters were so popular, they came back. But I wanted to kind of celebrate and mark that, listen, we have many, many children among us, children and youth that have been born. Now, it's great. We want to pray and labor for those that are most vulnerable, that have no voice, but also we have a responsibility to those that are lives among us. As a congregation, and I don't need to tell you parents, you feel that responsibility, that weight, very acutely, daily, I know. So what I want to do is take a few moments in overview so we can celebrate together, we can pray together, and we can kind of move together in the areas of our ministries to the youth, with the youth, and with children. Okay. Some of you that have gone through the up-close classes, some of this may be review, some of it's not. It'll be good either way. But for the youth, those of you with children, with youth, excuse me, young adults, is that good, Memily? Is that young adults? Is that more better? Is that more better? No, not quite. Not quite. Not yet. Not yet, Emily. Those of you with youth, seventh grade and above, should have a sheet that looks something like this. You have that? You can pull that out. And those of you that aren't, that don't have them, you can maybe view, kind of peek over at your neighbor and be curious what's going on. Youth ministry isn't new here. Rich and Jeannie, Robert, I know Joe Myers, and many of you have been laboring faithfully, thank you, for years, just loving and caring for these kids and their spirits and through all of the ups and downs and everything they go through. Most of you know that a teenage life isn't very steady, is it? There's a lot of ups and downs, and I especially thank Joe and the Roberts, Rich and Jeannie, for stabilizing, for serving, and putting your hearts and literally your entire lives into the kids. So thank you. And they'll continue to do that. They're required to. They can't. Well, guilt, what is it this morning? Guilt, manipulation, and threats. Yes. So that's how we keep people serving around here. So this isn't saying they're leaving or anything. But what I want to talk about in the as we just kind of launch forward and work ourselves through the next season, we have a very very basic vision for the youth, your youth, our youth here at the church, and it's this. Think of it this way: what we do will work to this end. There's an intense need for them at this age to connect with their peers. Healthy connection. So what we do and way we structure here from a corporate sense is we want to have that in mind. We want to allow opportunities for them to connect together in healthy relationships. Okay. The other thing we recognize is that parents, oh man, do we ever feel equipped for this? So we recognize a need to connect parents with youth, kind of walking in similar life stage right now. To grow together, to be able to pray for each other, encourage each other, cry with each other, laugh with each other, and spur one another on to good works together, okay? Because you're all in it. I say you are. I'm not quite there yet, but I will be very soon. Not yet. She will be a youth soon. But we want to provide opportunity for the peers to connect, for the youth to connect with them, and also the parents to be able to connect and pray and encourage one another. We also want to work to bridge the gap from the youth to the parents, connecting hearts, mothers and fathers, dads and daughters, and connecting the hearts this way. So bridging this way. So the students, parents connecting, and then across bridging, okay? And also, and ultimately, and really, the matters of the heart are connecting them with their heavenly Father, connecting them with the Lord in developing a love for his word and a love for the Lord. Make sense? Very simple. He's like, yeah, I get that. Well, that's good because it should be simple so we can understand it. So one of the ways we do that is we have a 9:30 time that's carved out as a class in our life stage class. We call it life stage. So I'll get to what we do with the children at 9:30. This is at 9:30 with the students over here with the youth. What you're looking at is an outline of what we will be beginning in February. I believe around the first week in February, we're going to begin a study with the youth on knowing the God who is. It's from a series called So What? So What? You know, not that So What. It's So What Does It Mean? So how what does this mean for your life? The application of it, taking the word at this stage of their life, taking the truth of Scripture and working it out in a very practical way. You're seeing 13 different questions, and then in the center, you're seeing the answer to those questions. We're going to be taking probably 2 weeks at least on each one. So this will not be run through in 13 weeks. It will take time to engage, have dialogue, and have it to not all lecture, but have it really exchange with the students. That'll be happening at 9:30 every Sunday morning that we have service, okay? And leading this particular study and teaching it will be Matt O'Brien. So Matt, I don't know, many of you may not know Matt. He's all right. No, you got to wave. Matt is here. We have opportunity, parents, for you to get to know them a little bit. Matt and his wife, Brooke, is here. Brooke and baby. Yeah, and they have two children. Number three is soon here. They will be joining. Rich and Jeannie will be continuing to be involved in it, but Matt will be taking the lead in terms of teaching this study. And really, if you look at the questions, parents, like, I want to go. These are some really, really, this is not fluff. This is really, really good stuff for these kids to wrestle through and to talk about, pray, and encourage each other. Okay. So that'll begin in February, and that'll continue on. I don't know how long that'll be. It'll take a long time to get through that. But our purpose isn't to just run through the material, but to have a place where students can interact, ask questions, be challenged, talk about what's going on in the world around them, and really be encouraged. So I appreciate Matt and Brooke and stepping in. Matt has a little experience with students. He's a high school Bible teacher at CSY, so just not another day off, though. You have to work here on Sundays, too. But we're blessed to have you guys, not only a part of the congregation, but involved in the students' lives. So parents, if as you're looking, you can engage Matt. You'll see Matt kind of in and out of the group, and we'll work at introducing all of you. And they've been getting to know Rich and Jeannie. And also, there will be regular activities for the youth, continue to be planned. And I don't know all of them that are coming up, but there's a scavenger hunt. Is there laser tag? Are we doing that again? Because I whooped up on you all last year. All right. I did. I was terrible. Yeah. But I did. I made it up all night, most of the night. I slept a little when I drove home with the kids, but I was all right. So there'll be regular activities, again, to help connect them, and the parents are invited to come and be a part of that. And I think, I know Joel and Tina said they'd love to be involved in helping to plan activities for the kids. So that'll be happening periodically. I don't know if it'll be monthly, but there'll be activities for them. And also, what we'll be talking more to you as parents is I would love to see a six-week home gathering where we have the youth and the parents get this under one roof at the same time. Like, what? Just interacting with some material, maybe having some separate time for the parents to pray for each other, then coming back together. Maybe on a six-week rotation. So it's not an every-month thing for the moms and dads, but it's an opportunity for them to connect with students and to connect with each other, which is like going to be very life-giving because we are needing one another. Okay, so that's a glimpse of the youth ministry. Very, very thrilled with that. And we're going to need all of God's grace to help make those connections with them, parents, and then together, knitting of hearts and families together. Amen. All right, let's look at the children. The children. This is a little more structured in terms of the scope of it. God has entrusted us with children. Some of us, I'm speaking like as a family, he's entrusted us. And others, as a congregation, he's entrusted them to us. We have 90 plus children from sixth grade and under, right? Right, Ruth? Yeah. Ruth helps to kind of help keep everybody in line. Keep it organized, but 90-plus children here, that's 25% of the church. 25% of the congregation are little ones. That's an enormous, under seventh grade. So one thing that tells me is God has a future for us, doesn't he? A really wonderful future. 25% of the congregation are wee ones. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 24. And as we look at the vision of children, what are we trying to do at 9:30 here Sunday mornings with the children? And I would really look at Jeremiah 9:24 and just jot that down. You don't have to turn to it. Stay in Galatians because we're going to camp there for a second. But for the children, why do we do 9:30? What are we trying to accomplish with all of that we talked about here? It's really to raise their knowledge and their affections of the Lord. They're knowing and understanding, but also knowing him. And Jeremiah 9:24, the Lord speaks through Jeremiah and says, listen, I don't want you boasting about your riches. I don't want you boasting about worldly things. I don't want you boasting about wisdom. If you're going to boast, I want you to boast that you understand and know me. You want to talk about something, talk about that. And I think that's a pretty good place to land as children, building the foundation in these young lives. The whole purpose of the 9:30 structure is to help empower the parents to raise them, giving the parents tools. I mean, obviously to impart life to them, But at a foundation, it's to support what you're doing at home, and maybe even to fuel it. It's incredibly overwhelming. Like, what do I do? Like, well, as I talk briefly here, use this as a springboard for what you're teaching your kids. It's not meant to be comprehensive when we look at this large sheet. It's not meant to be comprehensive, but to work together with parents or grandparents or guardians, whoever is raising these children on a day-to-day basis. As we said in the skit, which may have been, the bananas may have been a distraction for some of you, basically what we said is we have, at 9:30, when you bring your children in, you're like, what room are they in? Where am I going? Like, you know, those of you with kids, you don't know where they are from week to week yet. We're working on getting some directionals for you. We have four workshops, four rooms that the children are in, divided up by age groups. You know, children in age, they're in kind of a developmental stage for kids together. We have a creative room. We have the drama room. We have the active room. And we have the teaching room. Those are all, it's designed around the different ways children learn. So they're not getting a different theme every week. The themes are monthly. They're getting taught four different ways, four different perspectives, four different teams leading them. So they rotate. So, you know, Ireland is six, right? You're 6 years old now. So Ireland will be in the will be with Beth and in them. And luckily, that's not every week, because that could make do damage to them if they're with you guys every week. So they have to go over to Liz. Is Liz here? Liz Charleston? Liz Charleston does the creative, where they're learning the topic by working with their hands. They're making crafts, those things that your kids bring to you, or you see them kind of floating through the halls. And they're working for the whole class time, and they're being taught as they're working with their hands. And then we have a teaching one where it's more audio. They're learning like being in more of a classroom kind of structured. And then the other one's activities, where they're just, some of them just blowing off steam, and they're learning through activities and games. So they're active, and, you know. So that's kind of that's what's happening from week to week. So there's 4 weeks in a month. Every month that has a fifth, we have off because we're eating dinner together. This thing that you have, do you have this? Open this thing up. This is the children's ministry. Oh, this is a 5-year children's ministry plan. At the end of 5 years, it's planning to be repeated. So if you have a little one who's, 3 years old, preschool is when they enter into the rotations out of the nursery. The design here is if you have a 3-year-old entering in, by the time they reach the teenage years, they would have gone through this twice. Developmentally, they'll be in different places the second time around, but they'll have a foundation, they'll be familiar with it, and then it comes in as they grow. If you look at this thing, it's divided into, if you look at the top, know him, know you, know me, calling, core. That's designed around our vision here as a church, our mission of a church. If you look at know you, that's the current year they're in. Each row is a year. We're in know you. Last year we spent, all the topics were designed in knowing him. Now it's knowing you, which is, you know, those around them. It's more of an others theme. So you're looking at each, like you see serving one another, forgiveness, intergenerational ministries. Those principles, each block is a month. So September, October, November, you see yellow is Christmas, that's December. January, February, March, April then is around the Easter time, and then May. This rotation does not go through the summer, so it's 9 principles a year. 9 principles a year. We decided, as the elders and children's workers, we sat down and said, what do we want the kids to learn? Isn't that a wild thought in church? Like, let's not just be happy we have teachers back there. Let's find people that have a passion for drama. Beth doesn't care about crafts. She wants to do drama. So she's, in Marcy, it's life-giving for them. Right, Marcy? You know, you don't want to have to lecture and teach. But we have folks that flow in that, that love it, that can use a guitar and teach the kids music in the teaching class. So it works to people's strengths in their design as teachers. But they're learning these topics. The the next one, if you see January, right now the children are learning real family life, which is would be the Sermon on the Mount. They're learning about family life, church life, the kingdom life, in terms of what's it mean to judge people, the golden rule, and all the kind of encapsulating the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount. If you watch the next month, which is February, we don't have any class tomorrow, so the next week, but the next time they get together is going to be February. They're learning the principle of sowing and reaping. The whole month. The whole month they're going to be learning this. So parents, I would hang on to this, because this is kind of your guide to what your children are learning. And use it. Use your days and your weeks in between the lessons. You have a whole month. So what do you learn? You know they're learning about sowing and reaping. Engage them. If you're like, I don't know how to teach my kids the Bible. Nobody ever taught me the Bible. I don't know where to begin. Well, like, here's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here's 45 principles they'll learn. They'll do it twice while they're in the ministry through here, providing them then a foundation to move up and move forward, okay? What you see below, the bold line, you see down here in the bottom, bold line, that's in the future. These are more of like, they would be maybe offered on a Friday night, a Saturday format with the parents involved. These are not things that we would teach them absent the parent, okay? So if you'll notice as you look at the different types of subjects, it's a little, we want parents interacting with children, and it's a more optional. If you don't want to bring your kids, you don't have to. That's the point under the line, okay? February's theme, sowing and reaping. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, a farmer went out to sow, and as he sowed his seed, and that begins a discussion that Jesus uses. In Galatians chapter 6, I want to spend 5 minutes giving you an overview of what the children are going to be learning for the next month. So as parents, even those of you that are not parents, but you see the kids, you can engage them. Hey, what are you learning about? Hey, what about the seeds? What are you learning? God has woven into creation certain truths that are self-evident. They're self-evident. That when we plant a pumpkin seed into the ground, what do you get? A pumpkin. And this ties in very nicely from this morning, what we learned in terms of the apple nailing strategies that we use as parents. You get a pumpkin. You don't get a football. You don't get a puppy. You get a pumpkin, right? And Paul is basically saying here in Galatians chapter 6, he's telling them and telling us that whatever context we're in, whether it's on a sporting event, whether it's the out here doing the turkey bowl, or you're at work, or you're at school, or you're in church, or you're at a youth activity. There's a correlation of cause and effect, that as you go about these things, you are constantly sowing seed. We're sowing seed all the time. In effect, we're farmers. Saying you're farmers, guys. And he says, not only that, there's two kinds of seeds. There's two kinds of buckets you can be pulling your seed out of. One bucket you're pulling out of sin, human nature, and you're pulling out of the flesh. You go around and you scatter that all around in school and at your work and so on. And then Paul says, listen, but there's another bucket you can pull out of, and that's the spirit bucket, the bucket of the spirit, the things of the spirit, joy, life, peace, purity, holiness, hope. This bucket, these are the things that come from God, Paul says. And then he says this, do you know what? You reap what you sow. You harvest what you sow. What pops out of the ground and stares you in the face is what you sow. Plant a pumpkin, you're looking at a vine with pumpkins everywhere. Who told me they planted? Oh, no. Wait. It was Roger. How many tomatoes did you plant? Where are you at? How many tomatoes did you tell me you planted last week? A couple years ago. 75 tomato plants. He had a harvest of, I mean, just like an ocean tidal wave hitting him. He didn't even plant anything last year, he said. It was like it was out of control. So he may have toned it down a bit. But you plant that many tomatoes, you're going to get a ton of tomatoes. He didn't get green beans. He wished he would have got at least something in there mixed up, but it was all tomatoes. And Paul says, you reap what you sow. You put your hand in the sin bucket, and you sow that all over your life, you're going to reap death. You're going to harvest death and destruction. He says, you put your hand in the bucket of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit and of life, the things of God, and you go and sow those things. You're going to harvest life. So guys, you're on your way home from work, and before you walk in the door, what bucket am I going to pull from? Regardless of what I find when I walk in the door. Kids are spilling things or whatever messes you up. What bucket are you pulling out of? You going to sow to the Spirit? Or are you going to be pulling out of the flesh bucket? Because you will reap what you sow, Paul says. And listen, God's not going to be mocked about this. He says, you live your lives as if this doesn't matter. But you're wrong. It does matter. This is right. You can live your life any way you want, but God's not mocked. It's the real thing. You're crazy if you think any other way. And what gets difficult, and we'll be explaining this to the children, is that we want quick results, don't we? We want quick results. We want it to happen instantaneously. And some of us are sowing into some very hard conditions. Very difficult conditions, and you know, for some of the children, their parents aren't saved. Somebody brings them, so the principles are being taught. The love they experience here, they don't have in 3 hours from then. So it's very hard conditions. Sowing seeds, unsaved spouses. Some of you are here alone. Some of you are here, but you're still alone, even though your spouse is next to you. Sowing into some very, very difficult conditions. Work conditions. I talk with many of you, and it's some places of your work are very, very tough. Very tough conditions. And the children, and we as well, are tempted to think, it's not working. Love my enemies? Pray for them? It's not working. But verse 9 then says, which we will teach, and let us not grow weary. And let us not grow weary. It's all as if Paul knows that's coming. He already knows what they're thinking. Oh, Paul, great, love the principle. But, you know, Christianity doesn't really work for me. I tried it and it doesn't work for me. What I'm really saying was I didn't get the results. I didn't see the harvest quick enough. I didn't see things change the way the Bible says they should be quick enough. Paul says, no, don't grow weary here. Take the long view of this thing. This is not a sprint. This is not instantaneous. It's faithfulness that in due time, he says, in due time, he says, a day will come in due time. Because listen, our children are going to want to give up. They're going to want to quit. They're going to not see what they think they should see because of the principles we've taught them or that they've learned here. But in the next 4 weeks, one of the cores in the sustaining of these principles is that, hey, listen, in due time, God is the one who causes things to grow. That sounds like Corinthians now, chapter 3. So we plant, but it's God who brings the growth. It's God who brings the harvest. And I want to tell the workers, those of you that volunteer, the youth folks, and all of those of you that work in the children, like, this is what will sustain you. Because week in and week out, it looks like you're doing nothing. But you're planting seeds, pulling out. Don't switch buckets because you're discouraged. And these kids, it will sustain you as workers. And I appreciate you week in and week out. These folks are in every week. This isn't this big rotation where everybody changes. You know, Rich and Jeannie, they're in every week. Marcy, you guys are in every week. As a matter of fact, you're here Tuesdays rehearsing for Sunday morning. 45 minutes. They're in here a whole night of the week to rehearse for 45 minutes. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Don't grow weary in sowing to the Spirit. So that's a principle. That, in a nutshell, is a principle that our children will be learning over the next 4 weeks through drama, craft, games, and teaching. And this thing called training our children can be very, very overwhelming. So we just kind of turn off. Use this as a guide. It's a great start. This month, like, hey, what bucket are we sowing? Or I'm sorry, Johnny, I just pulled out of the wrong bucket. Like, they're getting that. The yellow sheets that you have in there is a little bit more detail for each of the subjects. The big sheet that you have, it doesn't go into all the detail, but this one does. A little bit more about some of the questions, some of the things they'll be learning and diving into. And maybe somewhere along the way we can develop a communication tool that'll kind of give you a real succinct question or something to engage the children in. But I want to say, listen, resist sleeping in. Resist sleeping. Listen, do you realize we have more children here at 10:30 than we do 9:30? This is 9:30. What do you have for my kids? Well, actually, it was at 9:30. So I'm gonna take it. Maybe you didn't know this happens. Maybe you don't know at 9:30 what's going on, but now you do. I want to resist that. Resist scheduling. More and more sporting activities are being scheduled on Sunday. It infuriates me. All right. Family outings and think. I'll say, fathers, bring your family to church. 9:30. Some of you are. Some of you aren't. I encourage you. We're here to help and support. We're not here to raise your kids. You'll answer the questions, not me, on that day. We'll help. I mean, I'll have some things I have to answer too, but we have life. We have classes everywhere at 9:30. We have classes for adults at 10:30 or at 9:30 as well. But we have to really know our lives are really curved in to ourselves. They really are. It's part of joining into the body is helping to reorient us to where we can be others focused, where we're not just curved in and selfish in those things. And one other thing I want to encourage you in is in prayer. Prayer will sustain. Prayer will fulfill. It will fuel a sustaining for us. And we have prayer here every Tuesday night. Almost every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, almost. Except if it's, I don't know, Valentine's Day is coming up, Benjamin. I'm not sure. I'm sure I'll be here for that. But we have prayer every Tuesday night through the week. Now, I'm going to tell you, challenge you, commit to come once a month to prayer, joining together with the community to pray. There's childcare, there's nursery already here every week. Commit to come just once a week or once a month. And then we'll work up to once a week. But just once a month, say, you know what, let's pick one. You look at your wife and say, we're going to pick one, and we're going to come. Join in prayer. Be encouraged. And then last thing here, there are a few needs. Well, I don't have children, but you can help. And some of you, God has called, he's equipped, he's given you gifts, and he wants to empower you as well to help. During the 9:30 class time, there is a need. I checked with Ruth we need four people, four. This whole thing is happening, we need four people. They're called gawkers. These are four people that go around with kids. Gawkers. and they just help kids go to the class, they go to the bathroom and just help the kids move from area to area. And it allows the teachers to continue to teach and not have to stop and take kids to the bathroom and whatnot. You don't have to teach, you don't have to prepare, you just show up and serve. Gawkers, we need four of them. Four of them. You can talk to Ruth about any of this. At 10:30, she just needs two couples or four people to serve. Those would be in one of the nursery sections. You can talk to her. Just two people. Two couples, four people. And at the first Sunday of every month at 10:30, they have they pull all the kids together and have a children's church. And she needs one to two helpers during the first Sunday at 10:30. Clear? That's it. I mean, she would love to have a lot more, but that's what she needs. That's what's needed. I want to thank you to everyone who's involved. I don't know what the count is of volunteers it takes to staff something like this. 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, plus. So I know a lot of you are already involved. Thank you for that. The youth, monthly activities, helping, being there, chaperone, not just kind of being there with the kids. Sunday mornings, sitting in on the classes, helping with discussion here and there. You can talk to Rich and Jeannie or Matt too. I want to thank you. We have a responsibility for the kids, their lives here, and I feel we have a tremendous program set up to minister to them. But let's stand. I want to pray for parents. Again, this isn't all about those with kids. This is, you see a kid like Emily, I'd say, well, hey, she's my kid, so sit down. So you tell her what to do. But in our hearts, we can adopt, pray for these guys, interact with them, and love on them. So Benjamin, if you guys will have a song, we can end. We could sing Alive again. That would be kind of great. Be very good. So appreciate for your patience. Just taking an overview of the children's ministry. Those of you that are not involved, pray for them. Pray for the teachers. Pray for Marcy. Pray for the kids that are in their class. They need prayer. And we have VBS in the summer as well. But we believe in the sanctity of human life, and we have a responsibility for those lives that are among us once they're born. And together, we have a job to do. Hallelujah. Let's pray.